Log Talk Radio.
I'm the managing member of End Consulting, and I will be your hostess with the mostest for this installment, this edition, this episode of the Daily Complaint. So welcome to you all. Welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time. Welcome to those of you who are joining us for the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, tenth time. We appreciate the support, whether you're joining us for the first time or for the 12th time. We commend those of you who have taken that first step when you're joining us for the first time, because it's important for you to know your rights and assert your rights. And if you're listening to us, then you've already started that process. For those of you who are joining us for the 12th time, big ups to you, because not only are you interested in knowing your rights and asserting your rights, but you've now made a commitment. By joining us over and over again, you've made a commitment to assert your rights. There's nothing else that we can ask for from you other than for you to make that commitment to assert your rights, to know your rights, obviously, and then again, go that extra mile and assert them. So welcome to the Daily Complaint, folks. I'm going to reintroduce myself. My name is Dana Schaffman. I am the managing member of End Consulting, just a fancy way of saying I own End Consulting. End Consulting brings to you the Daily Complaint every weekday. It's Monday, Tuesday. Today is Wednesday, August 26th. That's right, folks. We've got 5 days left in August. Can you believe it? I can't. But nonetheless, 5 days left in August. We've only got 4 months till Christmas. Pretty daunting fact, right? So nonetheless, there is no better time for us to know our rights and assert our rights. As I was saying, the Daily Complaint brings to you, End Consulting brings to you the Daily Complaint every weekday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We bring to you the Daily Complaint generally at a scheduled time. However, we're playing with our time through the month of August. Presently, it is 10 a.m. West Coast, 1 p.m. East Coast. We are live right now on the air, folks. That's why you never know what's going to happen when it happens. It just happens. However, you can listen anytime to any broadcast you'd like. It doesn't matter whether it's Monday through Friday, Saturday or Sunday. It doesn't matter whether it's 1 a.m., 1 p.m., whatever time you'd like to listen. Every single episode of the Daily Complaint is archived immediately following each show. So you don't even have to wait to listen. So in other words, if you get home from work and you get that notice of default or that foreclosure threat from your mortgage servicer or lender, and you're looking for some information, well, there you go. You can listen to us at your leisure simply by visiting us at thedailycomplaint.com. You can also listen live at thedailycomplaint.com. So, folks, there's no reason for you not to know your rights and assert your rights. There's no reason for you not to get what you are seeking, to achieve your desired results, to get those solutions, to obtain whatever it is you're looking to obtain. Whether it's holding your mortgage company accountable for escrow fraud, we're going to look at that today with Chase. We've got a great complaint. In fact, we've got about five complaints going back to, I think it was 2010 maybe, or 2009. We'll look at that in a second. But we've got some great complaints today, folks, and they deal with just that. They deal with escrow shortage, suspense accounts, escrow fraud. So whether you're dealing with escrow fraud, or whether you're dealing with foreclosure threats, or whether you're dealing with not being able to afford your mortgage, but you still make money, okay? We've got clients in our office now that have all of these issues, every last one of them, okay? So we run the gamut, and we really do try to bring to you each of these varied issues every weekday through the Daily Complaint and through thedailycomplaint.com. So welcome to the Daily Complaint. Like I said, we've got a great show for you today. I've got no videos or audio to play for you. We're going to talk about escrow shortage. Seems to be something that is on the minds of many people. It seems to be a tactic that mortgage servicers are using these days to get you to pay more money, which really is extortion. You know, it's fraud. I don't know any other way to describe it. And trust me, I'm not an attorney, and you don't have to be one either to know that it's wrong, okay? I'm not going to give you any legal advice. I'm not in a position to do so, nor do I desire to do so. Honestly, I have a master's in business as a business consultant, business strategist. So that's really what my forte is, but I did business consulting for a client who was helping homeowners that were dealing with escrow fraud situations, foreclosure threat situations, false denial situations with regard to mortgage assistance. These days, many of you have heard us talk about ASC, America's Servicing Company, Wells Fargo. They've put in a new stopgap called the reentry team that doesn't even let you apply for mortgage assistance. What kind of BS is that? You know? So we're here to detect the issues that are existing, and we're here to help you get through these issues. Okay? So today we're going to talk about escrow fraud, escrow accounts, escrow shortage. We talk about this a lot, but I think it's because this seems to be an overwhelming issue. And I'm not talking about an issue for people that are behind on their mortgage, okay? This is an issue that seems to be popping up more and more from debt collectors and mortgage servicers on how to extort money. It's like a lesson on extortion. How to extort money out of homeowners that they don't owe, okay? Because let's talk about what is escrow. You know, escrow is an account that you pay into, that your mortgage servicer or lender pays from that account your taxes and insurance. There is only a certain amount of cushion that they're able to collect legally. That's it. It's either 1 month of your taxes and insurance or 2 months of your taxes and insurance, depending upon your state and federal laws. RESPA mandates that they can collect 2 months. Your state law might limit that to one, so therein lies the rub, that you've got to know your rights in order to assert your rights. That's our heartbeat. It's our motto. You're going to hear me say it over and over again. It's our lifeline. It's what we are passionate about. It's what we do here at the Daily Complaint and End Consulting. We're here to educate you as to what your rights are and what you can do if you feel that your rights have been violated. Okay? So let's start talking about, like we just were talking about, what is an escrow account? So when you establish your loan, okay, when you originate your loan, if you don't put down a certain amount, so say you borrow 100% of money, or maybe you put down 10%, chances are you're going to be required to have an escrow account, okay? It just depends on how you structure your loan and who you structure the loan with, okay? Now, many people do 80% on one loan, a first loan, and 20% on a second loan to avoid mortgage insurance. Okay, so that's different, but mortgage insurance might be paid through something similar like an escrow account or other accounts. Okay, so again, you've got to understand what's being collected through your escrow account. Let's say traditionally, most of us are going to pay principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, okay? Well, your principal and interest are your is your mortgage payment, essentially. Your taxes and insurance is your escrow portion of your mortgage payment, okay? That amount should equal every month 1/12 of your taxes and insurance. Now, if you don't know what your taxes and insurance are, then you need to go to your tax county assessor's office or call them. They should be sending you statements regardless of who's paying, so you know whether your taxes have gone up or not. Okay? Same thing with your insurance. They should be sending you a new declarations page every year stating what's being covered and how much you're paying for that coverage. Okay? So again, it's not rocket science, I promise you. It's just a matter of understanding what is an escrow account, how is it calculated, what are the rules about it, so on and so forth. Okay? So, let's say, and this is just hypothetical, okay? I'm going to make this super easy. Let's say your taxes every year are $1,200. That would be very low. Okay, but that would mean that you'd be paying $100 a month, okay? Let's say every year your homeowner's insurance is $600. Might be low, might be high, might be just right. I don't know, depending on what kind of insurance you have, what your requirements for insurance, are you in a floodplain, all of that. So let's just say hypothetically, you have $1,200 in taxes and $600 in insurance, okay? It makes it really easy because that means that you'd be paying $150 a month for your escrow, okay? When you establish your loan, generally they'll collect the buffer, meaning they might collect 2 months of taxes and 2 months of insurance up front, depending upon. If they don't and you need that buffer, then that might be added, okay? In which case, then you would have $300 more that would be broken over out over your mortgage, which would be $25. So the most you should be spending in that situation is $175 a month. That's it. Now, every year, your taxes and insurance are assessed, essentially. Okay? Which means the county might raise your taxes. They might lower your taxes. Who knows? Okay? If either of those get raised, then they might take 2 months of the difference. So let's say your taxes get raised by $120, because then it makes it $10 a month. See how we're doing easy math here? So that means that your payment would go up $10 a month, and then that $20 would get spread out over 12 months, which means you spend $2. So let's say your payment goes up $12 on your taxes side, and say your insurance goes up $120 a month as well. So then you're talking about the most your escrow would go up then would be $25 a month to cover that shortage that you are expecting, okay? But chances are things aren't going to go up that much, okay? In many cases, your property taxes have gone down because in many cases, it's done based on the value of your home. So as home prices went down, your property taxes went down, okay? But you don't even have to do that. All you have to figure out is call your county tax assessor's office. They'll tell you if there's been an increase. A lot of it is public record. You can look and see if there's been an increase just by going on the county tax assessor website, okay? As far as your insurance company, they even have more of a stake in the game because they know you can switch, okay? So you call them, they'll tell you every year how much your taxes went up if it went up, okay? And by then, you should be able, by that information, you should be able to divide by 12 and understand what your monthly payment should be. Now, the other thing is, is if you've had money in the kitty all along as the cushion, then you shouldn't have to repay that cushion back, okay? So again, you might have to do a little math, but reality is you shouldn't have to put a lot more back in the cushion, and you can pay your shortage up front if you'd like. Generally, your shortage isn't going to occur until the end of the year that it's increased. So you can also figure out what your escrow is going to be and ask that it be readjusted through the lender, mortgage servicer, so that you are exactly perfect. Or put away $25 a month and know that at the end of the year you're going to have to pay that $25 a month, okay? So you're going to have to pay that $300 or whatever the case may be, okay? So again, if you understand how escrow works, then you're going to equally understand what the limits are moving forward, okay? They, meaning mortgage servicers and lenders, are required, if they collect your escrow, to send you an annual escrow disclosure statement, okay? So we're going to look at that law in a second as to what that has to contain, okay? So let's look at, right now we're going to go to HUD.gov, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And they have a section on RESPA, Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, and frequently asked questions by consumers about escrow accounts, okay? We refer to this often, okay? This is flagged on my computer. I probably read this at least once a week, okay? Because this seems to be such a big issue for so many people. So, Section 10 of RESPA is escrow accounts, okay? Section 10 of the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, that's RESPA, limits the amount of money a lender may require the borrower to hold in an escrow account for payment of taxes, insurance, etc. RESPA also requires the lender to provide initial and annual escrow account statements. Okay? The additional escrow account regulations became effective in October 1997. Okay, folks, so we're talking 20 years. I mean, 18, 19, whatever the case. We're talking about almost two decades this has been a requirement. What's covered under RESPA? Does RESPA require borrowers to maintain an escrow account? No. It is the lender's decision whether the borrower must maintain an escrow account for the purpose of paying taxes or other items. The HUD regulations only limit the maximum amount that a lender can require a borrower to maintain an account. Okay, does RESPA require lenders to maintain a cushion? No. The RESPA statute and regulations do not require the lender to maintain a cushion. However, since 1976, now we're talking 20 plus years, the RESPA statute, actually, we're talking almost 40 years, let's be honest. The RESPA statute has allowed lenders to maintain a cushion equal to 1/6 of the total amount of items paid out of the account, or approximately 2 months of escrow payments, okay? If state law or mortgage documents allow for a lesser amount, the lesser amount prevails. So there you go. You need to read your mortgage and read your note and figure out what does it say, okay? The accounting method generally requires borrowers to maintain lesser amount in the account than the single item method predominantly used by lenders. Okay. However, many lenders have recently increased the escrow account cushion to the maximum allowed by law. Okay. The regulations require lenders to reduce the size of the cushion in some accounts. Unfortunately, to avoid customer disapproval, some lenders may be giving their customers the impression that the HUD regulations require them to make this increase. This is a false impression. The lender, not HUD, has chosen to increase the cushion. Can HUD require lenders to pay interest on escrow accounts? No. In 1992 and 1993, legislation was introduced in Congress that would have required lenders to pay interest, but it never passed. Some states do require interest to be paid on escrow account funds, but many do not. Okay, so that means you'd have to check with your state. How do I figure how much money the lender is allowed to require in my escrow account? HUD cannot figure out your own escrow account cushion and payments. Please use the following steps and examples. Okay, I gave you the same examples that they're going to give you, folks. Okay, by the way, we'll post this information on both our Facebook and Twitter pages. When you visit us at thedailycomplaint.com, on the top right, you're going to see two blue circles, one that has an F in it and one that has a Tweety Bird in it. That's Facebook and Twitter. And you're welcome to click on those links and find this information as a resource for you, okay? But we're not done. Variations in escrow accounts and payments. My escrow account payments went up rather than down. Why? There could be a couple of reasons why your servicer is charging more for your escrow account. First, your bills may have gone up and the account changed to reflect that. Or the servicer has changed the amount of cushion to the maximum amount allowed by RESPA. Check your statement from the servicer. You may also want to check your loan documents to figure out what is the appropriate cushion. Remember, when you sign up for a mortgage, you sign a contract, a legally binding contract. Both parties have to agree and abide by the terms. If it states they're only collecting 1 month of escrow, they can't change it to two. Okay? That's what this is stating. Okay? If the mortgage loan documents are silent on the amount of cushion or pre-accrual practices, then the RESPA 2 month limits apply unless state law provides for a lower amount. What is the disbursement date for paying escrow account items? They go through that. I got a notice from the county that my lender did not pay my taxes. Send the bill to the lender. Lender should pay the penalty for failing to pay the taxes. Are lenders required to pay taxes on an annual basis if a discount is offered to the consumer? No. The borrower and the lender may mutually agree to another disbursement basis or date. But generally, the lender should disperse tax payments on an installment basis. Okay, what steps should I take if a lender does not pay my hazard insurance? Lenders are required by Section 6 of RESPA to make escrow account disbursements on time. Okay, I get a notice that my hazard insurance has been canceled. My lender forced placed hazard insurance with a different company, and it costs a lot more. Can a lender do this? As long as your mortgage payment is not more than 30 days late, Section 6 of RESPA requires the lender to make escrow payments for taxes, insurance, etc. in a timely manner. Okay, so the answer to that question is no. They can't do that if you're current. What steps should I take if I think the lender is requiring too much money in my escrow account? First, figure out the maximum amount RESPA allows to be required in your escrow account from the example above. Remember, it's 2 months. You should write to your lender and complain if your lender doesn't refund the difference or otherwise resolve your complaint satisfactorily. You may wish to file a complaint with HUD or the Consumer Protection Office of your State Attorney General's office. You may also wish to consult an attorney. I would also suggest you visit the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau or the CFPB at consumerfinance.gov, as well as the Federal Trade Commission at FTC.gov. Okay? So, again, that's the skinny, so to speak, on escrow accounts. Now, let's look at our complaint today, okay? Like I said, our complaint was posted back in 2010, I believe. And then there's another complaint behind it, 2012, 2013, and then two in 2015, one in February and one in July on the 23rd, so just about a month ago. So it's crazy to think that this is how long this has been going on, okay? So, Chase recently took over my 17-year-old mortgage and wasted no time demonstrating corporate greed. This month, my payment suddenly increased by $103. They're trying to justify it by using the escrow account, inflated projection costs, and a funky math formula with an inflated minimum balance, 1/6 of the payouts, minus the lowest balance. They refer to this as an escrow shortage and claim I owe them $860 now, even though if or when it would occur is projected to be October 2010. I did not pay the amount because my numbers and projections do not match theirs. They use this shortage to validate adding $70 to my payments as well as an additional $30 to increase the escrow deposits. It's funky math because when I calculate the average monthly balance using their inaccurate numbers, it is $397.65. This is plenty of cash out of my pocket for Chase to hold on to. Chase also used early debits for property taxes to exaggerate or inflate a lowest balance. Shame, shame, shame. It's greedy and dishonest. Okay? So, that was the first complaint. Next complaint came 2012. I've just taken on services of a lawyer, and the same thing is happening to me with regard to escrow/late fees. They have even reported me to credit agencies for making late payments. Payments have never been made late. My bank statements prove that. Anybody interested in joining me, please email me. Okay? Now we're going to fast forward to 2013. We are dealing with Chase and their pitbull collection agency, Bayview Loan Servicing. We have never missed a payment, and all of our payments that are made the next day are put into what they call an unapplied cash account. It's a suspense account, folks. We've spent over 2 years making calls and finally have retained an attorney and found out this happens all the time with Chase. It happens all the time with everyone. Okay? They call it unapplied cash account suspense account. They don't tell you, or the customer service person you talk to doesn't tell you that once they put you in or force you into this category. They limit the amount of information that their own customer service agent can even see. They can't look up history or most information. They're pretty much pretending to do some work if you happen to get lucky and get an agent who sounds like they are interested in helping you. The attorney we are using said it will take years, and pretty much Chase doesn't care, and you are just a drop of the bucket, and they're going to wait you out and wait for you to go broke trying to fight them with legal fees. Next one. This comes from a gentleman by the name of Les Petty, February 11th. This happened to me also. My payment went from $756 a month, and bam, went up to $1,026.89. That's a huge jump, folks. $250 is a huge jump, okay? So if something can be done, please email me, okay? Last one is cheated by Chase, okay? And the first part of the complaint looks like a woman filed it July 23rd, 2015. Looks like they're talking about, fees and a call and a PIN number. I don't know what it is. But they basically are stating, and there's some good information in here. If Chase or they have reported negative activity on your credit report, this is an FCRA violation and an FDCPA violation, and that is a $2,000 fine per credit agency per month. I don't know exactly if that's true or not, but it warrants and begs you to look into it. The Federal Credit Reporting Agency, or I think it's the Fair Credit Reporting Agency, is the FCRA. They have a website. FDCPA is the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Yesterday we played a video on that through the FTC. I am about to collect on Chase reporting negative information on my credit, which was from Force Placed Insurance. Okay, Force Placed Insurance is what we were talking about earlier when they force place insurance on you. Okay, you have the right to replace that insurance. If your insurance was current, then they don't have the right to force place it on you. Okay, it's a whole other conversation. I paid all fees and disputed. Then they then began to foreclose even with my payments current. Can't do that. They will not return the funds that they overcharged. They now claim it went to escrow, but my escrow account claims zero balance. They are thieves, and all of you need to go after them for the way they try to collect an alleged debt. They believe they are too big to fail. Collect the consumer protection fines from them. These are the only laws that Congress has given us. There is a private right of action and civil remedy written into the federal acts. Each state also must have a statute to mirror the federal act, and you can collect from the state act also. Some states allow $10,000 per call. If you're in those states, you can pay. Okay, so I don't know what those limits are, but what I do know is this. We've already given you the pathway for success, okay? Write a qualified written request, a written notice, a notice of error, or request for information in the form of a qualified written request, a QWR. RESPA, which we've been talking about, Section 6 of RESPA allows for you to write a qualified written request. If you don't know what that is, visit consumerfinance.gov and get educated, okay? When you write that qualified written request, you need to write what the error is. You're stating, I owe you $800. I don't believe it's correct. I'm confused on the math. My math shows I only owe you $400. Why am I being charged for something that hasn't occurred yet? You're not within the limits of the cushion if you feel that that's not within the limits of the cushion. Okay, so you want to write that qualified written request, in this case to Chase or like the other gentleman to Bayview, which was the mortgage servicing company. They're required to respond to confirm receipt of your QWR in 5 business days and to provide a response in 30 business days, okay? Now, separate from that, you want to make sure that you contact HUD and file a complaint. You also want to make sure that you contact the FTC and file a complaint. And I would also contact consumerfinance.gov, which is the CFPB, and file a complaint. You can attach your qualified written request on there as proof that you're trying to work it out. You can attach your county tax history statements as well as your insurance history, okay? If you have any discrepancies with regard to your loan documents and what they're collecting or what your state allows, then you might want to also file a complaint with your Attorney General's office or your Department of Financial Services or Department of Financial Institutions, okay? I see a lot of this. I've seen it so bad where they've tried to collect over $300 a month because of an escrow shortage on a home that was worth about $80,000. There's no way that that's a shortage. Do you see what I'm saying? And the person was current on their mortgage. So there's no way that there's that much of a shortage, $3,600 shortage, okay? So again, you have to police your own mortgage, folks. You have to know your rights in order to assert them. I can't convey that to you enough. I can't express that to you enough. I can't persuade you to know your rights and assert your rights enough. What I hope to persuade you to do is to understand what I'm talking about. Understand what we're going over today, which is escrow, okay? If they deem you have an escrow shortage and they increase your payments and you continue to pay the same amount, your payment will go into a suspense account until you make that next payment, and they'll take a portion of that to satisfy the payment that you owe, and then you'll be late for the next payment. And it will continue to compound unless you deal with this situation, okay? So you can't just put your head in the sand. You've got to understand what an escrow account is. You've got to understand HUD and RESPA's limits as to what a mortgage servicer or lender can collect from you, okay? And you've got to understand what resources exist for you. So let's go over them really quick again. Okay, you need to get out your pen and paper, hypothetically, in this case your keyboard and your computer, and you need to type a letter explaining why you think they're wrong with the proof and fight on fact, not emotion, fact, as to this is how much money it is, this is how much money it was before, it increased $6, why am I paying you $300 a month? Okay. Those are the types of questions that you need to be asking and the types of information that you need to be providing. You also need to understand if they're requiring additional cushion, that's something different. You need to make sure they clarify that. That goes to your mortgage servicer or lender. Okay? Now, on the regulatory side of the fence, if they're not fairly reporting your credit, that should go to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, as well as the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, okay? If there's trouble with them extorting money from you in the form of escrow shortage, that should also go to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, at ftc.gov, and should also be submitted as a complaint to HUD.gov, or the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, as well as the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau at consumerfinance.gov. Okay? So, I promise you this sounds like a lot of work, but it's not. Most of the complaints, if not all of them, can be submitted online. To your mortgage servicer or lender, you can fax or email the complaint. You don't have to spend a dime. You have to spend some personal time knowing your rights and asserting your rights, okay? So, folks, again, I can't convey to you enough, I can't express to you enough how important it is for you to know your rights. I can't express to you enough how important it is for you to understand how to exercise or assert your rights, okay? What doing both of those things is going to do for you, knowing your rights and asserting your rights, is going to provide you with the confidence you need to be successful. Not in just this issue, in every financial issue you're going to face moving forward. Because reality is you're going to face other obstacles with paying somebody something down the road, but you're already going to have a backbone. You're already going to have a basis for knowing your rights and asserting your rights, folks. Okay? So, if you have any questions about what we're talking about, I'm more than happy to discuss it with you. Again, my name is Dana Schaffman. I'm the managing member of N Consulting. My personal signature is at the bottom of every single show that we do. We're at 283, 84, somewhere around there. So you have 283 or 84 options to find my signature. Okay? Our phone number is the same here at the office. My email is the same at the office. You can also contact us through Facebook or Twitter. When you visit thedailycomplaint.com, both of those links are up at the top right. You can contact us through thedailycomplaint.com, okay? Don't suffer in silence. Don't stick your head in the sand. It's only going to balloon and make it worse. You need to assert your rights. You need to address it, and we're happy to help. Just reach out to us or somebody else if you need help, okay? So, folks, thank you so much for listening. I so appreciate the opportunity that you provide me every weekday to bring to you your rights, your consumer rights with regard to financial issues. Okay, so again, visit us at thedailycomplaint.com. Folks, know your rights. Visit HUD, visit the FTC, understand the FDCPA and the FCRA, visit consumerfinance.gov or the CFPB. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another awesome edition of The Daily Complaint. Folks, know your rights and assert your rights. Keep your mind on your money and your money on your mind. Thank you so much for listening. This is The Daily Complaint.